Hey, this is Cragen from Heathen, and you're watching CMS TV.
It's Crucified Barbara right here on your classic metal show from their In the Red release with I Sell My Kids for Rock and Roll. I guess that beats selling them for crack or trafficking them to, sexual deviance. But
No kidding.
That one goes up by request to Brick from Tupelo checking in.
Well, good for you, Brick, for remembering Crucified Barbara. Holy smokes.
He says, I have a metal request from a band I bet you and Chris have never heard of. Well, you would be wrong, Brick.
You'd be wrong, yeah.
I think we actually had them on the show.
We had them on the show, and they toured with Motorhead.
Yes, they did. All-girl band from Sweden from 89 or 98 to 2016. They are fucking hot friends of Lemmy.
Mm-hmm.
He may have cracked them all, he says. I don't know.
He might have.
They really rock, though. They should have been huge, quoting the great Donald Trump.
That's right.
Tons of good hard rock songs. You even forgot their chicks. Anyway, thanks for all the fun these last few weeks, sir. Okay. Ron and Don in 24.
Oh, there you go. Did they not tour with our friends in American Dog, too, right?
I believe they did.
Yeah, I think I remember, isn't that how we first came across them, was Michael Hannon. Hannon told us about them, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
Yeah, we're aware of them. Doesn't mean that we have forgotten them. I'm not going to lie and say that I had not forgotten them. I have not heard that name in years, but.
Yeah. But yes, we're well aware, and yes, they did. They did tour with our good friends in American Dog.
Right. Yep. Good stuff. Good to hear that again. Hadn't heard that in a while.
So lots of hard rocking tunes tonight. When you get to this point and, you know, the show is 27 years in and there was so much hard rock and metal decades before this show, we're into a million songs or thousands of artists that I think Chris and I are pretty good at recall memory.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, when people bring up somebody or a band or a song or whatever, I think we're pretty quick at going, yeah, that was from, you know, 19 whatever, or that was right. From that band, or this is the album it was from. I'm amazed at myself sometimes that I come up with things as quick as who am I, Matt Pinfield?
Right.
Look at that. Look at me throwing back an MTV reference.
Well, look at that, a Pinfield reference.
Yeah, look at that. But I think Chris and I are pretty good at that. We're not the best, but we're pretty good. I would put us in the pretty good scale.
Good enough.
When it comes to recalling bands and songs and dates and years and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just the passion of ours. I mean, it's just, it's a hobby, you know? Mm-hmm. And no, Dad, I'm not making any money doing this, goddamn.
94 years old, still pestering you like you're a 10-year-old.
Yeah, are you making any money with that? Dad, I'm doing it. I'm 27 years in. No, I'm not making any money at it, but I still love it.
Yeah, it's still fun.
I love it loud, as Kiss would say.
That's right.
So
on tape, though, not in real life.
Exactly. All right, we got about 50 minutes.
We do to
wrap up, give or take.
Okay.
To wrap it up, so do you have more stuff?
You know what? I've done enough music. It's all music stuff. So let's do whatever you got. Because I'm
all right. Well, here's something that's been. I'm going to use an old fashioned term here.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's been stuck in my craw for the last month or so.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you followed this story at all, but and this is pop culture stuff, and I'm not a avid watcher or reader or fan or whatever you want to call it. This is just a statement for the politically correct woke environment that we live in these days.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the whole controversy behind this whole Dilbert cartoon creator Scott Adams and all the controversy that he's raised in the last month or so to get his 30 plus year comic strip pulled from every newspaper in the country?
I saw it, but I'll be honest, I always thought that the comic section of the paper was dumb. So I didn't even bother to read what he did. I just assumed he said something that didn't align and he was out.
Yeah. Well, that's basically you kind of summed it up right there.
Didn't need to read the article to know.
Well, anyway, this guy, Scott Adams, he created this comic strip that resonated with a lot of people who work in cubicles, which was a motivator for you to strike out on your own so you don't have to work in a cubicle.
That's right.
So he created this comic strip called Dilbert 30 years ago or more.
Okay.
I mean, it's been around for decades. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, he has figured out a way to keep this thing alive and provide a daily comic strip featuring the day in, day out drudgery of being a office worker and making fun or making a relatable comic strip to people who do work in an office environment that people relate to.
Okay.
Now, I think that you know or are aware of two comic strips that no longer exist because their creators decided it was time to pull the plug because maybe they kind of ran out of things to say. But one of them being Calvin and Hobbes, which is a personal favorite of mine.
Okay, I'm aware of it, but I can honestly say I never read it.
Bill Watterson is from the Cleveland area. I think he's from like Mayfield Heights or some place.
Oh, okay.
Like that. And he was one of these guys. He was very clever. I enjoyed Calvin and Hobbes through the 80s and into the 90s.
Okay.
I really liked the comic strip a lot. In fact, I own several of the compilation books. So I was a big Calvin and Hobbes fan when that thing came out.
Okay, cool.
And also another comic strip that no longer exists, but made a huge impact in the single cell comic world through the years was The Far Side.
Yeah, now that I've heard of it, I've read a few of those.
Yeah. So, you know, The Far Side, Gary Larson, and I'll tell a quick story about Gary Larson. When I lived in California, I moved into California in 1985, and Gary Larson was just getting his Far Side comic noticed.
Okay.
So it was just a chance meeting that I was at a conference for the company I was working for at the time in where was it? It wasn't Corona, California. It was West Covina, California.
Okay.
And this is just a weird, strange meeting, but I was at a TGIF Fridays in West Covina, California. And sure. this Gary Larson, who hadn't been discovered yet per se, or had a limited release of his comic. He just happened to be there at the bar.
Okay.
And he had proofs of his comics with him at the bar. And he was just sharing them with people, the cells, you know, the single cells he was drawing. And sure. I never heard of the Far Side. This was, I believe this was like way back in 1985.
Okay.
And it was just like, this guy has some really fucking bizarre, funny shit. And nice. And he was showing people his cells. You know, he was in LA for some kind of a convention or trade show or something. I don't know what it was, why he was there, but he just happened to be there. And he was showing people his hand sketch drawings and stuff of his comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just weird, and I never heard of the guy. You know, he wasn't famous. I think he had gotten landed something in the LA Times or something where he got his comic published or something. And again, it was so new to me. It was just like, what am I looking at here?
Right.
And it was just really bizarre. And then just within a year or so, he just like totally blew up huge. And started having like Far Side calendars, and you know, he was big in all the newspapers, and his Far Side comic was just a big hit.
Yeah, and they did all kinds of merch too, right? Because yes, I remember like people at the offices that I worked at always had like Far Side cups,
and yeah, calendars,
yeah. Like the daily Far Side or whatever
exactly.
It was called.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember all that stuff.
Well, this Dilbert was blowing up right about that same time.
Okay.
Okay, so he's had a long career, this Scott Adams, with his Dilbert cartoon. Well, Bill Watterson, who lives there in the Cleveland area, he never merchandised Calvin and Hobbes. He never did the cups and the shirts and, you know, the bumper stickers and, you know, all the other shit that goes, he never did that.
Okay.
He did the compilation books where he, you know, the publisher compiled all his cartoons and books and things, which I own a lot of them.
Sure.
But outside of that, he never did like dolls and bobbleheads and, you know, all that shit. He just never did that.
Was it just not his thing, or he never had the opportunity?
He just didn't want to exploit it to that point.
Okay.
But he made a lot of money on the Calvin and Hobbes syndication, you know, with the newspapers and stuff.
Right.
But he's kind of a recluse. He doesn't give interviews. He doesn't merchandise. He doesn't do all this stuff. He's just kind of a very low-key guy.
So he's a weirdo art guy.
Yeah. But here's the thing with Bill Watterson, like he may go to like a bookstore where there's Calvin and Hobbes books on the shelf, and he'll just kind of secretly take one off the shelf and like autograph it
and nice.
And put it back on the shelf.
Nice.
So you may run across a Calvin and Hobbes book with Bill Watterson's signature in the book.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so he lives up in like Mayfield Heights or some place like that, which is where he's from.
Sure.
And he lives there still, as far as I know. But he doesn't. He just doesn't publicize his existence. Yeah, but right. He's like worth millions of dollars.
Sure.
And same way with the Far Side, Gary Larson. But anyway, regardless of this Dilbert creator, Scott Adams, he has a podcast, which is called Coffee with Scott Adams.
Okay.
And he was analyzing a Rasmussen poll on his podcast.
Right.
And he was going over the numbers that this Rasmussen poll had reported. And he was saying that, I don't recall. I'm just going to try to sum this up that this Rasmussen poll said 52% of Black Americans think that white Americans are racist and they're like, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
So he was taking the statistics that the government reports that saying anything over 50% where a group of individuals say that they believe a certain way, they're considered a quote unquote a hate group.
Okay.
So what he said, and just using the statistics that the Rasmussen poll reported and what the government says is considered a hate group, he said 52%, and again, this is not specific. He says 52% of black people polled think that white people are racist and they're hateful and they're blah, 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 blah. He goes, if that's the case, and you apply the government standard to this poll, black people would be considered a hate group. And if that's the case, then white people should stay the hell away from them.
Okay.
That's what he said. He wasn't giving his personal opinion. He was just saying, if you use this standard and apply it to this situation, then this is the conclusion you should draw.
Okay.
Well, of course, the media, being the hateful, divisive garbage that they are, the first thing they key on is they said that, I'm going to let you fill in the blank. What did they say that Scott Adams said?
That white people should not associate with black people.
Correct.
Of course.
That's not what he said.
Yeah. They just took the words they wanted out of what he said.
Correct. So guess what happened?
So he gets canceled everywhere?
His comic strip got canceled from every newspaper in the country because Scott Adams said white people should stay away the hell from black people.
Okay. Well,
but of course it was taken out of context.
Sure. Yes, it was, but at the same time, let's stop right there just to make a point that we make every time we hear one of these stories. Why the fuck would a public figure make any statement on this?
Well, he wasn't really making a statement. He was making social commentary.
Why would you do that when you have millions of dollars at stake?
Well, here's the thing. Scott Adams is worth about $500 million.
So he don't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
All right.
So this goes back to the whole Donald Trump syndrome. I've got fuck you money, so if you pull my plug, I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Means I don't have to spend half a day drawing this shit tomorrow.
Yeah, I got $500 million. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
What are you going to do to me? You're not going to impact my lifestyle. I couldn't spend $500 million in an entire lifetime.
Right.
So if something happens to me tomorrow that my comic strip gets canceled, what are you going to do? Are you going to take all my money too?
Yeah. Well, they might freeze it in a bank.
True. Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly. I saw Tim Pool got hit with something like that this week too.
Of course he did. How dare you speak out?
Yeah. He got canceled from the weirdest fucking place. Bandcamp.
Bandcamp?
Bandcamp. Because he has like a band outside of being a commentator.
Okay.
And they suspended his account because he says things on a different platform.
Because he has things that he says things that are not popular.
Yeah. But they're not even on that platform.
Yeah. I know.
So stupid.
I know. I get it. It's just like, we will destroy you if you don't toe the narrative line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to take my hat off. Not that I wear a hat, but I'm going to take my hat off to the creator, Scott Adams, who said, I think you'll be proud of this, Chris.
Okay.
He won't
apologize
for offending people with comments on race.
Good.
Because I did it intentionally.
Bravo. Wow. Bravo to this guy.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you might enjoy this.
He's my new hero, Scott Adams.
Yeah.
All right.
In his first network TV interview since being kicked off the pages of hundreds of newspapers for comments widely perceived as racist, the creator and writer of the Dilbert comic strip declined to apologize.
Good.
No, because I did it intentionally, Scott Adams told Chris Cuomo on Monday night's edition of News Nation's Cuomo after Cuomo asked whether he felt he owed people who were offended an apology.
Was this on CNN? Is that where that
No, appears? This is Chris Cuomo got his ass kicked off of CNN and he had to strike out on his own and do an Anthony Cumia and start his own little network. Oh,
is that what this is? It's his own personal network?
It's just like Compound Media.
Okay.
Same cool. thing. Yep. Right. It's an independent broadcast because Cuomo got kicked off of CNN.
Right.
I offended people so that they'd be drawn to a solution. Adams repeated again and again that he meant to rile people up. And when he said on February 22nd edition of the YouTube show Real Coffee with Scott Adams while discussing a Rasmussen poll that white people should get the hell away from black people and call black people a hate group, he didn't call them that. He said that based on these criteria, they would be considered a hate group is what he said.
Okay.
It's what he said. He didn't call people black people a hate group.
Right.
He said, if you use this criteria, then they would be considered a black group a hate group is what he said.
Sure.
It's what he said.
Well, if you follow Anthony Cumia on Twitter, you'll agree with him.
Right.
You ever look at his Twitter?
I don't look at Twitter, dude.
Holy fuck. Anthony just takes the videos of all the crazy shit that's going on out there.
Yes.
And it's all black guys hitting white guys in the head with bricks or fights on the subway or whatever. And it's always the same cast of characters.
Right.
Now, it could obviously that could be selective use of video or not.
But why
it is happening?
But why is there so much of it?
Yeah. I mean, there's an abundance of it. It's not old footage. A lot of it's new. So it's like, wow, there's a lot of that shit going on.
Right. Hmm. Within days, Adam's cartoon, which riffed on office culture before The Office or even before the movie Office Space was pulled, Dilbert had at its peak run an estimate of 2,000 newspapers worldwide. And wow. The comic was spun off into books, which offer merchandise, a video game, and even a TV series that followed. Adams told Washington Post in a story published Monday that he'd lost 80% of his income as a result. He insisted then that he is against racism. The latter is the same message that he brought to...
Wait a minute, hold on. Read that sentence again, how they're... I love how even with the guy saying I'm against racism, they position it as he's just making an excuse.
Right.
Read it again where it says he positioned himself.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. He said, I'm not for racism.
Adams told the Washington Post in a story published Monday that he'd lost 80% of his income as a result. He insisted then that he's against racism.
He insisted then.
Yeah.
Like it's directly related to him losing the money.
Right, of course.
They're trying to say it's an excuse, not a true apology.
Right.
It's not an apology. He's not apologizing. They're just spin. It's just spin.
I know.
That's fucking crazy.
I hate the media in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The latter is the same message that he brought to Cuomo's show. Adam said only white people, specifically white liberals, are mad at him and that black people have been inviting him over for barbecues. They told him he claimed that they understood what he was doing. During the time when viewers could call in, a woman who identified herself as a black teacher and a longtime fan of Adam's comic strip called in to say that she had been hurt by his comments. She asked how she should explain this kind of rhetoric to her students. So here's the quick summary. I was concerned that there were a lot of anti-whiteness. I used some hyperbole, but my purpose was to teach them and anybody else who wants to listen the tools for success. Advised Adams, whose books include Win Bigly, Persuasion in the World Where Facts Don't Matter, and Losers and Loot. Let's see, this is two different things. Advised Adams, whose books include Win Bigly, Persuasion in the World Where Facts Don't Matter, and Loser Think, How Untrained Brains Are Ruling America.
Nice.
He wanted her to urge her students to stop looking backwards and look forward. Tell your students that they have a perfect path to success as long as they get good grades, he said. I'm assuming you're a good teacher and you have good enough school that they can get a good education. And if they employ a strategy and don't look backwards as a strategy, they'll do great. Now, there'll still be way too much systematic racism, but you'll be able to just slice through it like it didn't exist. Later, the interviewee asked that if a black man or woman had said what he had said exactly, or in reverse, did people think that person would be canceled? Everybody knows the answer is rhetorical, Adam said, laughing. There's not a chance in the world they'd have been canceled. So I wanted as much free speech as Black America. I'm the only one who has it. I'm the only one in the whole, I want to swear, but I won't, in a whole country who can say what I mean and have a productive conversation. At the end of the interview, Cuomo asked Adams if he would do it again. Would I do it again to get to this place? He answered. I have to tell you, I feel like I'm supposed to be here. It's a weird feeling, like I never felt bad about being canceled, and I can't explain that except that I feel like I was supposed to be here. I feel like the race relations in this country are so broken that you just have to stir up some crap to get anybody's attention and maybe convince them to look forward and maybe work together with people who have exactly the same goals.
Wow.
He announced that his most famous character adventures will continue in Dilbert Reborn on his subscription website beginning March 13th.
Wow. All right. And he'll probably make an ass load of money doing it. Yeah, just because
the people who enjoyed his cartoon are going, you know what? Why did you take this away from me?
Yeah. And they'll be like, yeah, $3 a month to support somebody that's standing up. Sure. Why not? Yeah,
exactly. So there's a guy that you and I could go, I didn't apologize.
Yeah. I like that. I'm a Dilbert fan, I guess. Never was before, but now I'm going to look up some Dilbert.
Sure.
I like anybody that doesn't apologize.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm not apologizing. I didn't do anything wrong.
Because guess what? If he would have apologized, he'd be on exactly as many newspapers today as he was the day before he said this shit.
I agree.
Or the day after he said this shit. None. You know, he would still be canceled. The apology would be nothing more than the left-leaning fucking idiots going, see, this is the systematic racism we battle.
Right.
You know, and good for him for saying, no, fuck you. I said it.
And the only reason Scott Adams can say fuck you is because he's got a lot of fuck you money.
But good on him for not being... You know, as well as I do, those guys that have fuck you money, the thing that they want most is usually more money. More money and more power. And good on this guy saying, all right, I got enough. Fuck off.
Yeah, I got a great lifestyle. I got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. It's like, yeah. what are you gonna do to me?
Mm-hmm. And not a damn thing is the answer.
Exactly.
Oh, you took me out of a dying industry. gee, that's got to hurt. You know, the newspaper industry is almost dead at this point.
Yeah, again, it's just like, who? When was the last time you actually bought a newspaper?
Oh, my God, dude. 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's had to been at least that for me as well. I can't even remember when I even picked up a newspaper, regardless of buying it or not.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the last time I probably bought a newspaper was when my friend Josh McTarian was killed. My cop friend.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was 2005 maybe, or maybe even earlier than that. I don't remember when that was. It's so long ago.
Well, on the show when it did happen. So
at least 10, 12 years, something like that.
Well, 15, 17, 18 years ago.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. McTarian death. 2008.
Yeah. So you were on the show.
Yeah. So he was killed in 2008.
So it's been 15 years.
Yeah. That's the last newspaper I bought.
All right. So again, I mean, again, I've read the Dilbert cartoons. You know, I do work in an office, but as far as like working in a corporate cubicle situation, which I know you have worked in, his comic was very relatable to those people. So yeah. He had a big fan base, you know, and probably still does. And probably a lot of people who are the type of workers who do work for a corporation or work in a cubicle or whatever, they would go, yeah, I hope you continue doing the Dilbert cartoon. And like you just said a couple minutes ago, yeah, I'll throw $3 or $5 your way a month to get your cartoon if you're still going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if they don't care about the cartoon, they'll just do it just at least for a little while, just out of blind support.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're probably spending that much on buying the fucking newspaper.
Yeah. Or buying a Starbucks to go with the reading the Dilbert or whatever. And I'm spending more than that on a Starbucks coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, hey, I like this guy. I don't know anything about Dilbert really, but I'll have to check it out, I guess, because I'd like to support. I may subscribe to this thing just because he didn't apologize.
Exactly. So it's like, I did it on purpose.
Yeah. And I couldn't give a fuck about his comic, but I may support him anyway, just to say, hey, good for you for not apologizing.
Right.
Good on that guy. I like it. Yeah.